Oh, how the narrative has flipped. It's flipped. It's the news. It's the flippin' news, according to me. Oh, good Friday morning. Friday, July 5th, the day after Independence Day. It is 7:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Kevin, and we have, it is 2024, by the way, July 5th, 7:55, 2024. I guess that way you get it all straightened out that way, in case you're wondering what day it is, what year it is, what month it is. I got you all narrowed down on this. That I can do, but I am not a doctor or a lawyer or a propagandist, financial counselor, any of those things. However, I do have one very important thing to talk about this morning. It's what's in my cup. I am at the home studio this morning, so I have my regular chai, which is nice and creamy, and I have Cinnabon creamer in it. Now, it's been a while since I've had this, and I deeply appreciate it. It's been at least 6 days since I've had this particular blend. I got in this morning about 1 a.m. So just to give you an idea of why this is early. I got in this morning at 1 a.m. That's not what time I fell asleep. I think I fell asleep at 1:02. It wasn't long after I got home. I don't really remember. I remember getting into bed. I don't remember much about anything after that. Which is kind of ridiculous. I was able to watch some fireworks. Goodness gracious. It was quite the long 6 days I had there. It was all over the, not necessarily all over the country, but just a very busy time. Had a couple of times there where I took a breath, but that was, it's one of those things where, like today, I'm after 6 days of doing what I was doing, it's him being gone and just dealing with what I have to deal with, and then getting home to one of my animals is not doing well. And I just, it makes me feel like just doing nothing today. I don't know what it is about that. I get done traveling like that. My first day off, that's just off. I just feel like just disconnecting from everything and just not doing anything. And I've talked to a lot of people in my industry who seem to have the same kind of syndrome. It's like this, I don't know what it's called, if there's a name for it or not, but it's just, you get done and the first day that you have a day actually off, you just don't feel, it's just, you can't motivate to do anything. You just feel like the only thing you can do is just nothing. And you can force yourself to do some things and you can do a few things, but then it just feels like you're just pushing up against a brick wall. And there's just no motivation there to get anything done. So it's very interesting. I mean, you don't even really want to just don't want to do anything. You don't even want to think about anything. So here I am this morning sipping on chai, less than 12 hours after I get back. And just for you, my faithful listeners, because, you know, the show must go on. And we got to pay our sponsors. Sponsors pay us, I guess. Maybe I'm doing this backwards. Maybe that's the problem here. I guess I should be getting paid for this show, not the other way around. Anyway, by the way, there's no sponsors for this show. This is the show that has no advertisements, no but you know, and it seems to me like the advertisements I'm hearing on a lot of people's YouTube channels and podcasts, it's that they're at the point now where they're reading this script. It's like, this isn't just a 30-second thing. You're going on for like 2 or 3 minutes. And I keep sliding the little slider forward or fast-forwarding it. It's just 10 seconds. You keep clicking on the 10-second button, and it's just, okay, this, I've clicked on it about 60 times now. And they come back, and the show's over. And I appreciate the fact that they've got to raise money to keep their thing going, keep their, you know, it's, in some cases, I don't think it's just to keep it going. I think it's, they're just making money. And it just, it's aggravating, to say the least. It is, yeah. I don't mind a, you know, the occasional advertisement word, whatever, sponsor, plug, whatever they're doing there. Man, when it just keeps on going and going and going and going, and it's just, they just keep talking about it and whatever it is, it just gets to, just gets annoying. So, and here I am talking about it. I just won't shut up. So anyway, a couple things I want to get into. I've got a few things that are just ready and rare. And now yesterday I kind of took the day off from the podcast. I didn't really have a chance. I had a choice. I got up at 4 a.m. yesterday morning and I was not home until 1 a.m. Like I said, I was up for 20 hours straight basically yesterday. 21 hours, I guess. Not, you know, no naps, I couldn't even sleep on a plane, which is usually what happens. I usually end up catching up a little bit. I can zonk out on a plane and be, you know, basically, oh, we're starting down now. And that was not a case. That was not the option on this particular trip yesterday. So it was a long day. Long day at the end of a long week. I have, enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? So we have a couple things going on here now all of a sudden. And I was suspicious of this after the first day after the debate. When we had, that evening, we had nothing but shock and awe from all of the folks at CNN and MSNBC. They couldn't believe that they had just noted that they saw the spectacle of Joe Biden, because every other time that they've put Joe before the audience, they've been able to prep him. You know, they spent 9 days prepping this guy for this debate. And they were just expecting that they would be able to prop the guy up again, that he would you know, trounce all over Donald Trump. This was not a debate, by the way. This was a, you know, some people are upset with Donald Trump. There are actually people who think that he beat up Joe too much. He didn't have any mercy on the guy. Now, we're not looking for, look, what do we need in this country right now? What do we need in the world? What does the world need right now in a leader from the United States? What do we need in this country as a leader? There are certain times in history. Now, I want to preface this with, you know, there needs to be some temperament to this. It needs to be tempered to some degree. And I understand that we can't just, character means something. Okay, let's just leave it there. Just put a pin in that. Character means something, and a character is important. Getting the job done and having the right policies, sometimes it just takes somebody to step in and do that. That's maybe somebody that you don't like, but it needs to be done. It's kind of like ripping a Band-Aid off. It's just, you go to the doctor, it may not be something that you want to do on a day off, but they need to pull that tooth. They need to sew up that whatever it is, or freeze that thing off your whatever. And then they need to do that examination that in places where you don't like. It's just there's just things that happen. You got to get it done. And we are at a stage in that point. I think we are at that stage, at that point in this country right now. There's a job that needs to be done. And whoever is going to be willing to step up and do it needs to do it. Now, hopefully our checks and balances, our system of government, limited powers, will, at the end of the day, keep anything crazy from happening. It's too far wacky. The media has now decided. Now, hear me out on this whole thing, because this is, or could be, can be, might be terrifying to think about this. So I want to lay out a little premise here as to what I think could potentially happen in the next few months, because we realize we have about 4 months before the election. This is July 5th. Is it November 5th or November 4th, something like that? It's the election day. First part of November. So we have the rest of July, August, September, and October. Basically 4 months. Over these next 4 months, in fact, I think this next month will be the lightest part of it, but it's going to be very intense. The last 3 months, September, October, especially. I always talk about the October surprise. Well, this is going to ramp into, I believe, August, September, and November. I'm sorry, August, September, October. But September and October are really going to ramp into things. There's going to be things that happen throughout August and September that are going to play into the October surprise. If we even make it that far. August is going to be a major turning point, because that's when the convention, the Democrat convention, is. So we will just have to see what happens with that. But let me lay out a few scenarios, and some of them are kind of dark. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen or what should happen. In fact, I hope most of this does not happen. But I could see some very dark things happening in the next few months. We are dealing with, and first let me just say this, we are dealing with a group of people who are completely deranged and absolutely out of their minds. They have convinced themselves that the world is going to end if Donald Trump is the president. They have convinced themselves that they will be locked in gulags, persecuted, prosecuted, executed, if Donald Trump wins the election. They have convinced themselves of this because they've told this lie so many times. They want their followers to think that it's that serious. Our lives are at stake. Now, when you start plastering that kind of rhetoric all over people's faces, and you give that kind of narrative out there, there are some wackos who will think that they are going to be the hero, and they will be triggered to do something really, really stupid. Speaking of stupid things, I've heard some people on the right that have made some comments about political unrest, upheaval, rioting in the streets, and upheaval and political unrest and attacks they're terrified. This is what I've heard from people on the right. This is coming mostly from establishment who has no idea what they're talking about. They have zero understanding. All they care about is their power, and that's all they care. That's as far as they go. Their power and their money. They are saying right now that the left is terrified that there will be political unrest. Well, first of all, let me just say this. I have a lot of preferencing and backing up and foundational stuff I need to get out there first. The Democrat Party right now is in absolute turmoil behind the scenes. There's so many phone calls being made, so many people on the fringe of the leftist party, and They are screaming to get rid of Joe. So there's those who want to get rid of Joe. There's those who want to keep Joe because that's he's their meal ticket. There are those who are saying we can't change him out because it will end up being, it's a chess game that could open up a big can of worms and a ball of wax that they're not ready to do. So there's all these people behind the scenes. You've got the administrative state. You've got the media, all the pundits, and they're divided amongst themselves. And then you have the Biden-Harris administration. The Harris camp in and of itself is a force within, as a faction, I should say, or a fraction within this group. There is a lot of phone calls going on every day. They're not just walking away from this and thinking about something else right now. They're all livid and they are all boiling over. And I guarantee you behind the scenes, if you could read all the emails, text messages, hear all the phone calls, it would be like Niagara Falls right now. And then we have Karine Jean-Claude Pierre telling us one thing. She's getting very frustrated, by the way, now, because the press finally started jumping all over her about Biden's, his condition. Did he get a checkup after the debate? No. And then we find out that he did. Does he take naps? Yeah, he takes naps. But we're still being told that, the alternative is just, it's so bad, it doesn't matter. So what if Joe was a little bit slow? So Joe had a 90-minute debate where he was a little slow because he had a cold. We can't base our entire country on how that man performed in 90 minutes. It's a very interesting dynamic thing that's going on right now. Because the day after, in fact, that night after the debate, and the day after the debate, they were giving up on Joe. It was over for Joe. If all the pundits had their reaction from them was very telling. It was very honest because they were just shocked. Now, all of a sudden, they're starting to come together with this, but Donald Trump lied, 36 lies. Okay, tell us what one of them were. Can you please, you're telling us all he did was lie, everything was lie, every time he took a breath, it was a lie. Okay, just tell us one of the lies. When you say lie, what do you mean? Do you mean he exaggerated a little bit when he said we have the best economy? Well, we didn't have the best economy because the best economy. We had a very good economy. Unemployment was the best it's ever been. It was perfect. Okay, maybe it wasn't perfect. Is that, you consider that a lie? But it was way better than what we've got going on now. Some of the best in our country's history. When you look at things overall, and especially the way we, considering we were coming out of COVID in 2021, and where we have gone since then, the death spiral that Biden put us in from that point on, all because he just had to undo, it wasn't motivated by what was best for the country, it was motivated by what, we just have to undo everything that this man has ever touched. Because, orange man bad. And then Biden goes out and gets his spray tan, looks orange next day. I don't understand that at all either. That is the weirdest thing. We're being told the guy is terrible, and at the same time, now we're implementing his policies back again before the election. Now, so let me lay out a few things. This may take a little time, but I want to play this little clip for you that I recorded this morning. Because I think it tells it kind of in a nutshell, hopefully, it will kind of explain, it will do some splaining of what this is really about. So I'm going to try to play this without, what am I going to do here? Turn this off.
not a game, and this is not a drill. Project 2025 is their plan. It is serious. It's in writing. It's public. It is a chilling approach to running our federal government that got all the more chilling after the Supreme Court granted Donald Trump absolute immunity. It's the plan that Trump would implement on day one should he prevail in the November election and end up back in the Oval Office.
Donald Trump does think he's king.
Now, I don't know who that lady was. She's on, she has this, she's always on, very sympathetic to the left, very, just constantly, very anti-Trump. And Now, we'll go on to Joy Reid here, the blonde African-American that has the lady who has Trump hair who hates Trump. And it's she's talking to a panel here. This, the rest of this is all just the hysteria, just more about the hysteria that's going on the left right now.
Donald Trump does think he's king and would implement Project 2025 and would use these powers to their maximum detriment to the rest of the American people.
If Trump wins, we're doing this show in a camp somewhere. You know, that's the reality of what we live in right now.
Typical flowery platitude language, but underneath it, it comes with the promise of a reworking of the federal government to specific aims that we haven't seen before.
Well, that would be a huge change in the executive power and give unprecedented amount of power to someone like Donald Trump. If he.
One of the things that they say here is that this is all flowery, you know, flowery stuff. It looks good, but really it's all, you know, it's all dog whistles and all this, you know, innuendo behind the scenes. Now this is the definition of Project 2025. I really haven't known that much about 2025. I've never heard that much about it. I don't think it has any traction at all, but let's just look at it here for what I didn't hear about it except from the left. I didn't hear about it from the right. I heard about it from the left. Project 2025, also known as the Presidential Transition Project, is a collection of conservative and right-wing policy proposals from the Heritage Foundation. Now, I do appreciate the Heritage Foundation. I don't know that I have anything against them, necessarily. Seem to be a little bit establishment, but I don't know for sure. Proposals from the Heritage Foundation to reshape the United States federal government and consolidate executive power should the Republican Party candidate win in 2024 presidential election. This is from Wikipedia. Now, a little further down here, June 9th, 2024, the project published in 2023 includes a nearly 1,000-page handbook that detailed the conservative agenda for the next president. Project 2025 said on its website that the handbook is the next whatever. The Democrats are freaked out about this thing, which means it's probably a good thing. I don't know that much about it. Apparently, they have an agenda for the, you know, they're trying to lay out some what's called policies, what we used to call planks in the old world. You had a platform, you had planks, you had, you know, all the different things, all the different aspects of your administration and things you plan on getting done. Kind of the shelves, as they were, the things on the shelves. Now, they don't call it that anymore. It's whatever they call it now. So here's where we're going with this. They say this kind of thing. The rhetoric is Donald Trump, he thinks he's the king. We're all going to be in boot, you know, we're all going to be in gulags. We're all going to be in, you know, in prison camps. This is all hyped up by the rhetoric that comes alongside of and hand in hand with, at the same time, the Supreme Court ruling that supposedly Donald Trump, as that first lady said, has ultimate immunity. Absolute immunity, they're calling it. That is not what they ruled. It doesn't say absolute immunity anywhere. I can't remember the terms that they use and everything that they said, but is basically he has immunity as a president with presidential powers and anything that under the president's acts. In other words, if he's doing any kind of official business or anything that can be considered official business, that he can't be, you know, that he has immunity from anything that he does. Now, who's to decide what those official acts are? They're getting themselves into a, they're backing themselves into a corner on this stuff, because there is something in place. We're not supposed to take the president to, you know, small claims court. This is the kind of thing where there's a presidential process, congressional process, to oust a president or to impeach a president, and that is what the process is. That is the judicial, you want to say, the law enforcement over the president, if he acts in such a way that's, and they don't care about that. They're not talking about that. What they're talking about is being able to prosecute him. They're still on that whole thing. It is a hairball that they really need to stay away from. And this has never been the case in this country. They're saying, oh, this is unprecedented that the president has this kind of absolute power, absolute immunity. Now, here's where this gets to be really tricky. Joe Biden comes out and says, never before has a president had, you know, absolute immunity. He can go out and order the assassination of his political enemies. And he said he's going to do it. Okay, show us the video of him saying that. You're just putting words in his mouth all the time. And then saying that he lies. He's the one who lies. You're the ones who re-edit everything that he says. And then turn around and blame cheap fakes. These are cheap fakes. These are cheap fakes. Well, you couldn't cheap fake the debate night, could you? The inventors of cheap fakes are the ones who are telling us that showing clips of Biden doing stupid things is cheap fakes. Oh, that's all edited. So, here are the scenarios that I believe we have in front of us. They keep convincing everyone that the president has absolute immunity to kill his political opponents. If Donald Trump says that his political opponents have done something that he can do an official act and have them killed because they're a threat to the country, he has absolute immunity to do so. We can't allow that man to be in charge. The Supreme Court has given them that right. Has ruled to give the president more powers than he's ever had. Who's sitting as president right now? They keep trying to convince us that this is what the Supreme Court just did. Who is it that they tell us? Who's saying that the country is at risk if his political opponent gets into office? Who's the one who's sitting in that position right now doing that very thing and prosecuting his political enemies? Oh, let me see. How many people can we do? I'll give you three guesses and the first two don't count. Because that is exactly what we are seeing here. Now, it doesn't have to be SEAL Team 6 that assassinates the president. There are plenty of other organizations under the direction of the president. Let's just say that JFK was not a one-off job. The powers that be are a machine doing this kind of thing every day. They're not necessarily very good at it, but they do get the job done, typically, except for Castro. They had a hard time with him. You're talking about, there's just a very dark scenario there in terms of what could actually happen to Donald Trump in the midst of all this. and they would be convinced that they have saved the country, that they're the heroes. Because after all, I can't stand the thought of the country, the entire country now, which is almost every state now in this country, is in play. Donald Trump is winning in the polls in blue states, and it is terrifying them. Meanwhile, they're still trying to convince us that most people, they'll say, most people don't want this kind of thing to happen. We have to if we just help the people understand that this guy's evil and bad, that they'll stop thinking about voting for him. Well, isn't that what democracy is about? This democracy you talk about, this democratic process we're supposed to have, where the people vote, even in the Democrat Party, they're not going to even honor the votes that people already have done in the primaries of their own party. They're going to go ahead and select someone. I've heard a lot of different scenarios about what can possibly happen here over the next. There's a lot of different angles that could. This is why it's really confusing and why I really am not going to weigh in on this. However, I am. You know, I was over 95% sure Joe Biden was not going to be the candidate. In fact, I was 99% sure. At one point, that is dropping with me because I think they've really messed up here. If nothing weird, no anomalies happen between now and November, and I'll talk about what anomalies are. Joe Biden might be on the ticket, and it won't be because they want him there. It'll be because they've gone past. They've crossed the Rubicon. They've crossed the line now between not being able to put anybody else on the ticket. The primaries are over. There's people talking about having a mini primary or whatever. This is like what happened with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders back in 2016. Hillary all of a sudden has these super delegates, and they all come in and for her, and they end up pulling the carpet out from under Bernie Sanders. And a lot of disenfranchised Bernie Sanders supporters actually voted for Trump or didn't vote at all. The VP pick is going to be a very deciding moment, I think, for a lot of people. Because if Donald Trump picks an establishment person like Marco Rubio, and I like Marco Rubio. I think if Mr. Rubio was my neighbor, I think we could have cookouts and talk and get along with each other just fine. I don't have a problem with him. I have issues with the fact that he's been in Washington for quite a while, and he has a lot of establishment stains all over the guy. And I'm concerned about that. If he picks Nikki Haley, I'm done. I'm done completely. I guarantee you, first of all, Donald Trump's presidency will not last very long because the powers that be want Nikki Haley in office. They want her calling the shots and making the deals. She is a warmongering establishment individual, and that's the establishment will get rid of Donald Trump one way or another. They will turn on him. And Nikki Haley has not an ounce of her body is anything to do with Trump policy. It would revert completely back to establishment policies. Now, let's talk about the whole issue here with Joe Biden for a moment. What could possibly happen with Joe Biden? The powers behind the scenes unfortunately, in my opinion, they could find a way to get rid of Joe. Physically. This would be something that would happen right before the election. There may be powers behind the scenes that want Joe. There's just so many angles to this. And the preparation he had for the debate kind of makes me wonder if some of this isn't true. Here's one scenario. This is just one line of thinking. The powers that be that were preparing Joe for the debate decided not to give him the cocktail, or maybe they gave him a placebo, whatever they gave him, or the cocktail just isn't working anymore. And they decided to let him just flounder in front of the nation. To let this, you know, to pull back the curtain on the charade. Because they want him to lose. Now, the mere fact that they had this debate so early in the summer is a little bit telling to me. This is a weird plan. When anything weird like this happens, when anything out of the ordinary happens like this, that's planned, then it's part of a bigger plan. In fact, it's the whole thing is a show anyway. But it's so they must have wanted this turmoil to get out there ahead of the election, way ahead of the conference, the convention, because they must have something in mind. And here's the way this would go down. They decide to let Joe Biden run. He loses. And then they have a plan to get rid of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump won the election. And then something happened to Donald Trump. And then they just conveniently, the establishment steps in. Because they're organized, they're a well-oiled machine. They step in and start placing their people in the places where they already have them ready to go. They just step in and start taking charge. This is where, in my opinion, the VP pick makes a huge difference. Now, I don't know what happens. I don't know. Let's say Donald Trump picks Vivek Ramaswamy as his VP. He wins the election. And something happens to Donald Trump between November and January. I don't believe it's just automatic that Vivek would be the next president. In fact, I don't know what that process is. I think this has actually happened once in our history. The Dems will want another election. Oh, we have to have another election. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it's supposed to work. They'll want it that way because they don't mind changing the rules midstream. They like to play this game, and they like to be the one holding all the cards and own the ball, walk home with it if they don't like the way it's going. That's just the way they are. They're the two-year-olds that we're playing with here. Sorry for those of you who are 2 years old. I don't mean to offend you. But this is one scenario. So then we're left with this issue of, okay, what do we do now? The establishment steps in. Then we have the issue of, what if they want to replace Joe Biden? What if something happens to Joe Biden physically? Heaven forbid that he should not make it either to the election or even to the conference. I keep calling it conference, convention, whatever. What happens at that point? Then who steps in? And I think most people would think, well, it's automatically Kamala. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Now I also hear this. Well, Kamala's approval rating is so low that the Democrats don't want her to be in there. Need I remind you of how the media and everybody on the left, the Democrat machine, how they have propped up our current president for the last 4 years, 5 years. That he is the most wonderful person on the planet. This is a guy who couldn't get 1% of the vote before when he was running for office beforehand. And he just happened to be the guy standing in the right place at the right time during the Democrat primary in 2020. And they just put him in there. Because they didn't have any better choices. He didn't win the primary in 2020, the Democrat primary. He was installed. This is the guy we're talking about. And he's been propped up ever since. He's the best thing. This is the best version of Joe Biden has ever been, according to Joe Scarborough. Just a few days before the debate. And F you if you can't handle the truth. That's what Joe Scarborough said. And then the day after, we got to replace this guy. And now what we're hearing is, we can't base our decision for one man's poor performance for 90 minutes over the past 5 years, 4 years of his, of all of this record-breaking activity that he's done in policy and the way he's handled the country. It's a masterclass, man. All the jobs he brought back. Yeah, those are jobs you got rid of. Government shut everybody down, and then when they bring the jobs back, look at these jobs we created. No, you didn't create any jobs. These are the jobs you killed people from. Just ridiculous. Kind of ridiculousness that they, I guess they think we're all stupid. And maybe the American people are stupider than I think. I don't think they are. I do believe in the American people. I still have faith in the American people. And I don't think they're that stupid. But right now, they're just not paying attention. If they do start paying attention, look out, Democrats, because you're done. And I think that the debate was one of those times where, and again, like I've always said, it takes about 2 weeks for this stuff to settle out, usually 10 to 14 days for this stuff to settle out. Well, right now, the polls are trending very badly for Joe Biden. There are Democrats coming out of the woodwork, big Democrats coming out supporting Trump now. The ones who are always behind the scenes. The big money, some of them. Now, that's just a few of the scenarios, a few of the angles that we have to deal with here. So who will they put in? They either want to win this thing or they want to lose it on purpose because they can't win. They know, they realize they can't win it anyway. So they're going to default to something else. But this whole idea that Kamala Harris, she doesn't have a good enough approval rating, nobody likes her well enough, I guarantee you everyone will love her if she's the candidate against Trump. All of a sudden, she will become the most wonderful, wonderful person in the world. Historic first black female vice president we've ever had. First female vice president we've ever had. You would think that Hillary Clinton was once a president because of the way they treat her. They gave her all kinds of immunity. No reasonable prosecutor would go after her for these crimes she committed. Oh, really? She was Secretary of State. She wasn't president. So, I believe we are in for a very tumultuous time in the next few months. The Democrats are trying to get, they took a terrible blow at the debate. They were knocked to the point where they were stammering around. Some of them went off the deep end. Cenk Uygur, who's the Young Turks guy, he's completely in the tank for getting rid of Biden. Realizes Biden can't win. And Biden can't win. If it's a free and fair election, it's the way it's supposed to be, Biden will not win this election. There's no way. There's no way. The Alvin Bragg case now, the one that they were hanging all their hopes on. Even the sentencing that was supposed to happen, I think here in July 11th or July, when is it, July 5th? Maybe it was supposed to happen today, actually. Might have been next week. Has been postponed because of the Supreme Court ruling. Supreme Court that now supposedly gives Joe Biden the right to, not the right to, but the immunity from ordering SEAL Team 6 to assassinate Donald Trump. Now, here's the problem. If SEAL Team 6 does that, they're all in for a court-martial. That's an unconstitutional order. And yeah, so the president has immunity. Supposedly, he doesn't have immunity on that, by the way. That is not what the Supreme Court ruled. But that is what they're making it out to be, which is very suspicious to me. Why would you be saying that if it really didn't happen? What is the purpose of that? One, they want to scare people into thinking that giving Donald Trump this kind of power is very terrible. The other is that they want to use that power themselves. They're trying to claim that power. That is, folks, that is terrifying. So we are, I guarantee you, there is a wrestling match about plan A, plan B. What are they going to do from here? How are they going to move forward from here? And I guarantee you, all of it is nefarious. None of it is good for our country. They're not planning something good for our country. Let's just put it that way. They're not plotting and scheming and doing all these things. For the sake of you as an individual. This is all about them and their power. They're trying to use fear to motivate people to vote for them. What does that sound like? Who operates in fear? Fear is never a good reaction, typically. Or I should say panic is never a good reaction. It's, you know, there's this fight or flight thing that we do, and it's sometimes fear saves our lives. But when you react to fear, when you respond, it's one thing. When you react to fear, it's a whole other thing. It leads to panic, and panic, no one ever says, well, thank goodness I panicked in that situation. That's what saved my life. Nobody ever says that. Those people, they're not around to say anything about it. They're not around to say, oh, I panicked, and that's why I'm here today. They'll say, I panicked, and then someone else saved me, or someone, you know, something else happened, and I was... They never testify to panic, and panic is the ultimate of fear. It's the ultimate manifestation of fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of courage and a sound mind. And I recommend that we move forward in that in the days ahead. Because the days ahead, I believe, are going to be very difficult for some people. And we need to have our eyes open. We need to have our ears open. We need to be attentive to what's going on right now. I do believe we can change things. I do believe we can stave off this craziness. By the grace of God, and that's the only hope we have, really. So, folks, Shabbat Shalom. I want to thank you for listening. I want to remind you that there's free parking, no macaroni and cheese, and whatever you do, folks. Keep praying for our nation. God bless. Have a great weekend.